We gain spiritual wisdom through the Word of God, and we gain spiritual understanding by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God illumines the Word of God. So it's not simply being filled with biblical knowledge. There's got to be faith in Jesus. And when we believe what God has said and we rely on Him to give us understanding, then we fill up on that knowledge.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at the first half of how we can do the impossible, and that is walk in a worthy manner.
Yes, we will, Dave. So let's get right to the Word of God. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 9 and 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
This is the will of God, sanctification and honor. That's His desire. And it can be known if we read it and allow the Spirit of God to illumine it, as we will see. Paul also makes this argument clear in Ephesians chapter 5. The women are going through this. Turn there. He's going to say, hey, here's all this immorality and all this stuff. That's not the way you should be. That's not the will of God for you. Ephesians chapter 5, after exhorting us to walk in love like Christ walked in love for us, he says in verse 3, but do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you. That's God's will. It says, don't do that. Don't let that happen, right? As is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Hey, you should be thankful. That's God's will instead. That's His desire, right? For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. See, this is His motivation for us to do His will. Right? This is not who you are. That's who they are. And they're going to hell. Don't be deceived. Right? And so he says here, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Hey, you're righteous because of Christ. Right? In the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. That's righteousness, not sin, like you just talked about here. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn or demonstrate what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. And for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now listen to this. Therefore, be careful how you walk. He says here, not as unwise but wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? It says, don't act like them. Don't do those sinful, wicked things you did before you were saved. But we should be walking in the context of the light. Righteousness, truth, right? Those things. That's God's will revealed in His Word. Very specifically. You see, and often God's will is opposed to our will. This is the way we used to live before we knew Christ. That was our will. 1 Peter chapter 4, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, for because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, it doesn't mean we stopped, but here's what he explains. He says, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. I'm going to live for His desire rather than mine or yours. Right? I'm going to live for His desire as revealed in the Word of God. And Paul's praying, hey, I pray that they're filled to the brim with the knowledge of his will. You see, because if we have his will understood in our hearts and our minds have been renewed because we're true believers, have the Spirit of God, then it's going to come out in our behavior. Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. You may demonstrate his will in action, having had your minds transformed. We see very clearly that's what it is. Let me give you another example here, a practical example from Ephesians chapter 6. Turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. Practical example of God's will and how it functions in our actions. This could be applied to the work relationship. These were like indentured servants, and at this time, slavery is a little different at this time. But he says, slaves, be obedient to those of your masters according to the flesh. That's God's will, by the way. With fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. That's God's will. And not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, look at this, doing the will of God from the heart. Don't be a man pleaser. That's not God's will. But be obedient to your masters. That's doing the will. Do it from your heart. Right? Doing the will of God. With good, render service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good thing that one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Doing the will of God from the heart. Paul's praying, hey, that they be filled with the knowledge of his will, because we're going to see that when you're filled with the knowledge of his will, that's the first step to walking worthily. I can't walk worthily unless I have his will filled in my heart. I know what it is. Then I can thus trust him and live it out. So then back in our passage, one other thing that I want to point to here is that it's not just simply the knowledge of his will alone. There's a parallel passage, and I read it earlier in Ephesians, that speaks of the knowledge of him. The knowledge of his will is tied up in the knowledge of the person of Christ. And I'm going to read that again for Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We're praying you have spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And our passage is about the knowledge of his will in him, right? This is the focal point. Jesus is the focal point. The Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus is the focal point. And his will, his desire, should be our focal point. Jesus made it clear that when he prayed to the Father in John 17, this is eternal life. That they might know thee, the one and only true God, and your Son whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is summed up in a relationship with the living God. And within that, there is God's will for us to manifest his character as we abide and trust in his Son. So then, in our passage, he's praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will. And even later on, he'll talk about in verses 9 through 10, increasing in the knowledge of God a little later on. That's part of it, increasing the knowledge of God. We'll see that next week. That's in the end of verse 10. It's one of those fruits. So then, God has revealed his will through his word, as we're going to say. So Paul is praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now notice back in our passage, go to Colossians, back in our passage, that he qualifies this. Because a lot of people kind of talk about his will, but they may start putting in human things in that plot instead of what God has revealed. They kind of convert man's will or their will into God's will. And that's not what he's talking about. Because his will is a spiritual reality. And it is something that can only be understood in the spiritual sphere, rightly. So he says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's the sphere. Spiritual wisdom, all spiritual wisdom, and understanding. You could actually take that all and apply it to understanding also. So the Bible is clear that there are two types of wisdom, wisdom from above and wisdom from below. James 3. There's the wisdom of man in the world, there's the wisdom of God from above, right? And so here, certainly, spiritual wisdom comes from the Spirit of God, right? Two can't be disconnected. And where do we find spiritual wisdom? Do we get it in dreams? Do we get it in meditation? Where do we find spiritual wisdom? We know that God spoke in many portions in many ways, and now he's spoken through his Son. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we see very clearly where his wisdom comes from, God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is cutting the table legs out of the Corinthians' pride in man. They had spiritual pride. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, some of this, some of that. They were tempted to that in terms of wisdom, in a sense. And Paul has to say, hey, here's my example. And his example is not of an elevation of a man at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's focus on Jesus, right? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Boy, preaching 101 here for believers, not for the fakers out there pulling in the world every Sunday. He says here, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. But he's saying, yet, hey, we do speak wisdom. And I want to tell you what it's all about. He's going to say that here. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature or complete. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak what? God's wisdom. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which I have not seen, ear has not heard, and have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. This is stuff that didn't come from human beings. Never even entered the heart of man. It came from God. And notice what he says here. It's not something that's coming later on. Notice what he says here. For to us, God revealed them. These are those hidden things. The wisdom of God was revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, get that word, know. We might know the things freely given to us by God. That's his word, that's his wisdom that wasn't known, but now it's been revealed. And he says, which things we also speak. Hey, it's God's word we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But a natural man, that's a non-believer, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand because they're spiritually appraised. That's why we share the gospel with non-believers, by the way. They're not going to get anything else. They don't accept it. They're not going to get it. But he says here, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the thoughts revealed of Christ in his word, those hidden things of wisdom. We have God's word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 states that in him, speaking of Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God's word is the only context in which we come to the full knowledge of his will. It's his spirit revealed will, spiritual wisdom. It's God's wisdom. That's why we don't want to listen to those who don't know the Lord. We'd be polite. We'd be kind, but we don't listen to them. We don't get our counsel. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers, or you know that, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. So then we have divine revelation, God's word, that is given by the Spirit of God, through men moved by the Spirit, spoke from God. 2 Peter chapter 1. And so Paul's praying that you'd be filled with it, filled with the knowledge of his will, filled with that in all spiritual wisdom. That's the sphere. It's God's wisdom from his word by his Spirit. It's spiritual. But notice, we can know his word, but we may not understand it. He's going to pray for understanding too. He says here, in all spiritual wisdom, that's the sphere, and understanding. Back in our passage, you could say literally all spiritual understanding. That all spiritual goes with that. Now this term understanding, interesting word, it speaks of ascending together. It spoke of a union of two rivers coming together. Hence the idea of comprehension, insight, or understanding. Sometimes we know God's word, but we don't understand it. He's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in the context of spiritual wisdom and understanding. That we would get it. Luke 24, when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with those dejected disciples, he opened their minds that they would understand the scriptures. Later on, when he appeared before them, he opened their minds that they would understand the scriptures. God needs to do that. It is God who opens our minds to understand the scriptures. The Spirit of God reveals the things of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It is the Word of God by the Spirit of God that we understand that truth of God. And we need to come humbly before him. Open my eyes that I would see wonderful things from thy law. When we come to God's Word, we need to rely on him to enable us to understand his spiritual wisdom from the Word. We need to rely on him. So then, we have this tremendous statement. But how do we get spiritual wisdom and revelation? How do we get that? We see it comes from the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. We see it points to Jesus Christ. Jesus would say again on that road to Emmaus, the things about me written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms would be fulfilled. Focused on him. We know that he gave apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. The work of service, the building of the body of Christ till we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Mature. We know that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, through his precious and magnificent promises. So then, we gain spiritual wisdom through the Word of God, and we gain spiritual understanding by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God illumines the Word of God. So it's not simply being filled with biblical knowledge. There's got to be faith in Jesus. And when we believe what God has said and we rely on him to give us understanding, then we fill up on that knowledge. We're fulfilled, in a sense, in that knowledge. And Paul was praying because God has to do it. God has to do it. And this is his prayer, and this should be our prayer for one another, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because if that doesn't happen, you will not walk in a worthy manner. Notice what he says here, verse 10, back in our passage. Let's finish up with this. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. Think of a very basic illustration. You want to please your boss, you need to know what his will is for you. And when you do it, you're going to please your boss. When you walk in that will, right? Now, the Lord's will is very clear, but that will is in the context of dependent faith in him, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So he says here, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is really quite amazing. The term walk speaks of to walk around. It speaks of our day-to-day behavior, our conduct, the way we live, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. Walk worthy of the Lord. The term worthy, axios, speaks of bringing up the beam of the scales, making it equivalent. Worthy with the Lord. How can that be? Well, it's behavior that is consistent with the very character of Christ. He doesn't say we are to be worthy. He doesn't say make yourselves worthy. He says that we be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding that we might walk in a worthy manner. As God's word is working in my heart by his spirit, he directs me in my actions and reactions day in and day out in every circumstance that I depend on him and trust him in. Amazing statement. The point is when we're truly controlled and filled by the true knowledge of his will, illumined by his spirit in our hearts, we believe it, trust in Christ, then we're enabled to walk in a worthy manner, or i.e., that is, behave in a manner consistent with the very character of Christ. And thus, middle of verse 10, to please him in all respects. What pleases God? Remember Matthew 3:7, when Jesus was baptized, and behold, a voice came out of the heavens, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus pleases God. We know from Hebrews 11:6, apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. When we trust in Jesus and we are filled with the knowledge of his will, obeying him by faith, he's pleased. He's pleased when I live with my wife in an understanding way rather than get embittered. He's pleased if wives submit unto the Lord and unto their husbands righteously, that have gentle and quiet. So he's pleased when we walk in the knowledge of his will. He's pleased when we don't snap back and return evil for evil. When he leads us not to do that. He's pleased when we put aside all anger and malice and envy and slander. He's pleased when we don't worry, but we pray instead, thanking him, making our requests known. He's pleased when we do these things, trusting him to please him in all respects. Trying to learn what's pleasing, right? Ladies are doing that, right? Trying to demonstrate that. So then, how do we please the Lord and walk worthily? We need to be in the Word of God with a heart that is humble and dependent, being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That means we've got to be confessing sin. We've got to be walking with him. We need to be humbly praying that God would open our hearts and minds, praying for one another, trusting in Jesus. He wants us to walk worthily. We can't do it, but he does it through us if we trust him. Isn't that amazing? It's quite amazing. And we'll see this next time what this looks like in real time. Bearing fruit in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness, patiently, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints of light. That's what it looks like. So then, do you want to walk worthily and please the Lord? I do.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, so how can we believers walk in a worthy manner?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, it's only when we continually renew our hearts and minds with God's revealed word, we believe it and trust in Christ, stepping out in faith, then he will manifest in us what is pleasing. Okay, with that in mind, I'd encourage you to make plans to join us for our next three broadcasts, where we're going to gain a picture of what the worthy walk looks like from the Word of God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.